Hi, everybody. Today's Wednesday, June 18th, 2025, and our friend Andrei Martyanov is back with us. Welcome back, Andrei.
My pleasure.
Andrei, I want to start with the situation in the Middle East between Iran and Israel. They started the attack two days before the negotiation, the talks between the United States and Iran, I remember. These, Andrei, when you look at the situation in the Middle East, the way that Donald Trump is dealing with Israel, it doesn't seem, when it comes to the nature of the attack, let's put it this way, they were from the information we are getting from Iran, from those people who were captured by the intelligence, they're saying they were preparing for this attack for 10 years.
Yeah.
And this shows how deep they were prepared for this attack. How did you find it? And the way in the initial hours, everybody was confused. What's going on in Iran? They're not responding. They're just, Israelis are hitting Iranians. What has happened in your opinion?
Well, I mean, Iran has issues with the counterintelligence. Let's put it this way. For all funny things about Iran, and many people say, oh, it's the, you know, dictatorship of mullahs. Well, the point is, it's a pretty liberal country in many respects. I mean, Iranians are nothing like Arabs. And Israel penetrated them for a long time. It was known fact. So including, obviously, when you look at Antony, also the liberal pro-Western so-called intellectual class in such cities as Tehran or Isfahan, what have you, you know. So those people gravitate to, at least they gravitated as of lately, to, you know, negotiating with West and good faith and things of this nature. So, well, they have been shamed, obviously, we now know that. And we even have some of them, you know, demanding Iran getting nuclear bomb, you know. But reality is, yeah, it was penetrated, it is clear, and it's Mossad agents. There are obviously local assets which have been converted. I read today that actually the long-range drivers, you know, the truck drivers, are excellent source for their recruitment for Mossad. So, and yeah, they combined West and Israel are one-trick ponies. They are good at converting, coercing people, killing people, you know, so assassinating them. So they did, they tried to do their Hezbollah 2.0. But of course, Iran is not Hezbollah. It's a very large country with a huge population of almost 100 million and very diverse. And so they recovered. First 10 hours, they were obviously... do not forget also, and again, Israeli propaganda is the same as Ukrainian propaganda. They, you know, they kill, you know, hundreds of generals a day. But the point is, decoys worked from what could be observed. I mean, much of the strikes, including the strikes, which most of them have been done from the ground by the diversionary recon groups, by Mossad and all those, you know, terrorist organizations like MEK, M-E-K, you know, which is the supposedly Iranian group, which it is really, well, terrorist. It was on the terrorist list in the United States for decades. So they were doing this. They shot some launchers and some air defense systems. There was obviously the cyber attack, which you would expect. But it took Iranian air defense to recover about 10 hours to fully recover. Not all of it was affected. Initially, it operated at 40% combat effectiveness. By the end of the 10th hour, it started to operate over 70% combat effectiveness. So how it is now is very difficult to say. But obviously, Iran is not shaken. They are into this in a very businesslike manner. And do not forget, again, Israel's propaganda is that's what they're pretty much best at. They're not really good at fighting real wars, you know, so they haven't been for a long time now. And so that's pretty much what we have. And Iran is ready. I'm pretty sure they have been properly warned. I'm sure that they are ready for the worst contingency if the United States, once it's, you know, slapped into the action by Israel, which it will be. And then we'll have a very, let's say, fluid dynamics, let's put it this way.
Andre, how about the similarities between the attack on Russia the day before the negotiations? The same attitude, Andre, the same attitude. Days before the attack, the use of drones. Do you feel that there is an element in common in both attacks? Is some
third country? It's the similarity is uncanny, and it's one trick ponies. It is primarily CIA, MI6, and Mossad type, you know, thing. You know, that's the only they're good at killing civilians, you know, raping, doing false flag. You know, that's pretty much it. And then, yeah, they for some reason decided that Iran is Hezbollah. They did some damage, no doubt about it. They initially have sown some seeds of the confusion, as I already stated. It lasted about 10 hours. After that, well, we know that both sides tend to exaggerate the achievements, but the point is, Israel, because they're not good, okay, let's put it this way. These guys bought and swallowed hook, line, and sinker their own propaganda. This is what happened to the United States. And you saw yourself the dismal effectiveness, or rather lack thereof, by the Israeli and American air defense. It's pathetic, really. I mean, they cannot stop practically anything, and especially something modern, which Iran, you know, launches at them. And evidently, they lost some planes. But it's just the whole concept, you know, this space-air battle, which is totally harebrained, schemed by Pentagon, people who do not understand what real war is. None of them does. And so they see how it is unraveling, and now we have to wait when this man-child in White House, you know, with the God complex and being a slap bitch of Israel, that's who he is, he's a puppet, will decide to get United States involved, and we'll see the American boys dying for Israel, as many Christian Zionists in United States are advocating for. So, well, what can I say?
Andre, Israelis are talking about that they wanted to destroy Iranian nuclear program, and it doesn't seem that with those attacks that they have implemented so far, they have executed so far, and with the case of Yemen, we know what has happened with the case of the United States against Yemen. It doesn't seem that even if the United States participates in these attacks on Iran, they're going to be capable of destroying Iranian nuclear program.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, it's just going to increase the tempo, so to speak, of bombing. That's the only thing United States knows how to do against defenseless targets. But in this case, the stream of the, God forbids, body bags, American body bags, will hit the shores of the United States. And Iran already proved that, has proven that. This is a completely different thing. This is not Iraq, okay? People do not even, people in Pentagon, many, not all, do not understand that what they are dealing with, because as I already stated, they have been fighting essentially peasant armies, you know, like Iraqis, semi-literate and incapable of even maneuvering or anything. So here you have to deal with the guy who is, you know, the people who have the means to shoot back. And as I already stated, every Iran has plenty of means to reach every single military base of the United States in the region. And they will be able to do nothing about it because U.S. air defense, it's junk, basically, you know. So it's designed to shoot down, you know, some kind of the slow-moving targets, hurled at them by Taliban or something like that, you know. So that's pretty much it. And this is a completely different paradigm. And if to believe for what I heard from people who are in the know, there are many American military people, especially people who deal with the everyday issues, they are not happy about this. Obviously, American boys have no business dying for Israel. But again, don't forget, Washington, D.C. is essentially the U.S. Congress is essentially the extension of the Knesset. And it will do together with Trump, who is the absolutely, I mean, he's a loser, basically, you know, his presidency is over. They will do as Netanyahu says, you know, because obviously Washington, D.C. doesn't work for American people. It doesn't work for the United States. Its task, as many Christian Zionists and some fanatics in the United States say the task of the United States to defend Israel. So, okay, what can I say?
If I were in China and seeing all what's going on in Ukraine and in Iran, I would say the same scenario would come to us. They want to go, they want to make Taiwan or not, I don't know if someone else, some other countries to get involved with China. They may try a coup as they try to do everything. You look at what's going on in Iran. They're talking about regime change. They're talking about breaking Iran in different, I don't know, in different oblasts. It seems that the case of Ukraine is already is passing from before your eyes. It's all the same.
They are one trick ponies. American military intelligence complex is not very bright, as I already stated. Those people are one trick ponies. They operate only on the rigid templates. They learned something about that they can fight the third world army, and even that is a failure. And they try to implement it because obviously the way the system is wound up, the clockwork, as I already stated, that what can possibly they do? I mean, the only thing United States can do, it's not good at combined arms operation. It never was since the World War II, you know. The last great strategists such as Eisenhower, Marshall, or Bradley, you know, they are gone. What you have primarily is the, you know, butt-licking, butt-kissing, you know, bunch of the political generals who have no clue about modern warfare. Again, American general is a laughing stock, essentially. That's what it is, because the American education, military education, professional military education is a joke, honestly. And so as a result, you have the generation of those people, the only thing they know is to, okay, let's go and regime change it. This all influenced by the Israelis, and United States have been under Israel thumb for a long time now, and it will continue to be so because, you know, we just elected the, well, not just, it's already now, what, half a year almost. So look at Trump, he's an Israeli asset, essentially. The guy is, his show is up, so to speak, the curtain is down. And we can see the everything very clearly. And his confused, hectic, irrational, teenage type, you know, activity tells you everything you need to know about who those people are. And so United States in this case, yeah, is there. It's going to die by Israel. And we have to really keep an eye on what is going on further. But Israel as the country, it's not military power. They have nuclear weapons, evidently, we know that. And they have some sort of option. But, I mean, it has been warned for many years, including by me, that their army, their air defense, it's all primarily figment of imagination of the American propagandists, who themselves are pretty much, you know, have dual loyalties to Israel. They don't care about, you know, if American boys will die for Israel as long as Israel is doing fine. It's not doing fine. And it's not going to do fine because they evidently... Well, they ran into the wall, literally, you know, so, and doesn't look good for them.
Andre, how do you find what's going on within the Trump administration? He said he doesn't care about Tulsi Gabbard and the way that she said that Iranians are not pursuing, based on the information, Iranians are not pursuing nuclear weapons. He said, I don't care. I just feel that they want to. They could achieve nuclear weapons in the coming weeks or months or in a year. What's going on within the Trump administration?
Well, we have, again, as I already stated, a man-child. He's a showman. He New York State real estate shyster. So you can imagine now his moral qualities about it. Man has no honor, integrity, or what have you. So he was there. For him, it was important to get elected. That's the thing, you know. Whatever he was trying to implement, he, as always, he surrounded himself with all kinds of the human trash, you know, and hacks who are primarily Israeli assets and they work for Israel. They just, you know, they adore Israel, you know. They're a bunch of the fanatics, religious fanatics who are, you know, drank the Kool-Aid of the Scofield Bible, you know, which is the Christian Zionists, that's what they are. And they are utterly incompetent. So the last people of the integrity and access to the real information, such as Tulsi Gabbard. He humiliated her publicly yesterday. And Tulsi, I heard she already made a statement that if the United States gets involved directly militarily, it's already involved, but directly militarily into the war, Tulsi will resign. And I think so that, and I think that will be an honorable thing to do for her. And yes, Trump, as always, he betrays everybody. He betrayed his country. So, and what can I say? I mean, that's what we get.
They have, Andre, they have destroyed all the international communities. One of them is the IAEA. They tried to use IAEA to go against Iran before the attacks coming, because they were preparing the public opinion around the world that Iran is doing something in that we have to do something about it. Here is the head of Grossi, the head of IAEA, changing the rhetoric in his latest interview.
Competition about who is wrong or right about the time that would be needed. Certainly, it was not for tomorrow. Maybe not a matter of years. I would there be perhaps more serious about this, and I don't think it was a matter of years. But this is speculation. Why? I go again to the beginning of my comment. These things we don't know, because if there was some activity which was clandestine or hidden or away from our inspectors, we couldn't know. What we informed and what we reported was that we did not have, as in coincidence with some of the sources you mentioned there, that we did not have any proof of a systematic effort to move into a nuclear weapon.
Andre, they're just destroying all of these international communities. And
oh, no, it's, International Atomic Energy Commission and agency, rather, and this Grossi guy, the guy is actually a political scientist by education. So he's a nincompoop. He has no business of being in charge of this agency. But that's why he is there, because he is a moron. He won't understand the first thing about the real technologies which are going in. You need a professional there. So I'm not professional in nuclear energy. If to imagine, like, obviously, it's absolutely, you know, a hypothetical scenario. Somebody says, okay, how about you become the chief of this agency? I would refuse. I say, I'm not a specialist in this field. So you have this political scientist who is asset. The International Atomic Energy Agency was essentially working for the United States and Mossad for a while now. They were also providing the targeting, for example, same as, for example, Human Rights Watch and, Medicine Sans Frontiers, Frontiers from France, all that. These are all, France for all kinds of intel operations. And in this case, when you say that they destroyed those organizations, yeah, let them go to hell. United Nations is utterly corrupt organization. We know this. The only reason it exists is just a basically platform for accusing each other of all kinds of stuff. It's absolutely dysfunctional, and most of it is all this dysfunctional. You look at the sports situation, look at many other things. This is the end of the Western civilization as we knew it, and Europe is going to be dead. It's already dead pretty much, but it's going to be completely decomposing in the coming years, which we already observe. United States, if Trump continues on this way, which he will, United States will disintegrate. We already have the California, which is living by own laws, essentially. Steve Bannon says, oh, it's a Confederate moment. Well, in a sense it is, but United States never formed, coalesced into the true nation. You know, United States is the torn nation. There is nothing really in common between Jewish lawyer from Manhattan and some farmer from Iowa, okay, who is part of MAGA. There's literally nothing which unites them together as the historical experience and things of this nature. And as a result, what Trump do, the next thing Trump will do, which he's already doing in the process, he will betray MAGA. It will basically, as I made my video today, and I refer to excellent, astute observation by Garland Nixon when he spoke to George Galloway, that essentially once MAGA is gone, Trump, he may end up behind bars for all I care. He has the whole GOP, which is utterly corrupt, they're all corrupt, you know, but GOP is there stuffed with the fanatical, you know, Christian Zionists, and they are controlled by Israel. So, and Israel doesn't care about how many Americans die, you know, so they really care about themselves and greater Israel. And there you go. That's the only thing they care about. They have the fanatical cabinet, but of course something went wrong, right? So something doesn't add up right now for them, and it will continue to deteriorate for them. And they put the country, which there is a possibility that once the United States begins to disintegrate, and as already stated, we are in some form, so to speak, approaching this moment, Israel will go, it will follow. It's a completely artificial creation which existed, subsisted practically on the constant subversion and corruption of the American political power, which of course provided for defensive needs, which provided for other financial needs, and so things of this nature. That's what they do.
Here is what Washington Post reported, that it says Israel will only be able to maintain shooting down Iranian ballistic missiles for 10 or 12 more days if Iran maintains its attacks, its attack level. If I don't know if that was, if that's the case, it was a suicide on the part of Israelis. Why do they need to do that? What did they need to do to attack Iran?
The foundation of Israeli defense policy is let American boys go and die for us, period. As the army, IDF is a joke. It's stained completely. It's a gendarme force, which stained itself with the genocide of Gazans. And when you talk about, there's nothing serious militarily about Israel. It's essentially the military extension of the American military industrial complex, which actually gives them pretty much everything they need. Well, plus Europeans. And when you look attentively at their air defense, it's not Israeli air defense. Apart from the fact that Rafael plant has been destroyed by Iranians a couple days ago, it's essentially they unscrew those labels made in Boeing, Raytheon, and things like that. All those David slings, all those arrows and things, you know, those air defense complexes, which do not work, we know now, they stick their, you know, Israeli label on this. And they pretend that it's somehow it's just their own thing. Look at them. It's a small country of about 9 million people population. All their military industrial complex is nothing but the smaller copy of the American military industrial complex. Their Air Force, it is all American. Their Air Defense, it is all American. Practically all of their, you know, C4 ISR complex, bar some things here and there, it's all American made and European made. If you look attentively, they cannot produce submarine, they cannot build real combat ship, they don't have real, they have Merkava, which have been absolutely just, I mean, it's nauseating how they talk about it. It's the best tank in the world, which it is not. And so when you look at this, how do they exist? Well, they exist because of the United States. United States sends billions upon billions of dollars there every year. And as I already stated, look at GOP. Look at GOP. GOP is essentially an extension of the Likud party. That's who they are. So all of them. Well, not all. There are some people of like, you know, Thomas Masick type, Rand Paul, or Marjorie Taylor Greene, but they are minority. Majority of the GOP and part of the Democratic Party are essentially Israeli assets. They operate and they work only in favor of Israel. Remember Joe Biden when he was young? Good Lord, he was priding himself of being the biggest Zionist of them all. So there you go, that's what it is. Washington doesn't work for the United States. It works for Israel.
Donald Trump is trying to put, at least through media and the way that he's trying to communicate with Iranians, a lot of pressure on the public opinion in Iran. That they leave Iran and evacuate Tehran and all these nonsense that is. But Andre, when it comes to the battlefield, to what's going on right now between Iran and Israel, what does the United States have to offer to this situation?
Nothing. it already offered. I mean, it's if to believe the Mr. Hexford, they already withdrew even some Patriot Pack 3 batteries from Ukraine. Not that they performed there well to start with. It's a junk, you know. It can still shoot an aircraft or two, you know, make no mistake. It can shoot that. It's absolutely useless. First, United States doesn't understand what zonal air defense is. The United States has no concept of this. What they have is they have the object air defense, which such as PAC-3. They can, allegedly, they can't, but still, they are designed to defend some object. Let's say some military plant, okay, or something like that. They fail at that anyway. But so what else can they do? United States has nothing left to give. Evidently, if to believe some information which is streaming, and Israeli actually, well, justifiably, make no mistake, they forbade actually anybody to post anything on the social media, which is justifiable, but obviously everybody violates that everybody posted. But we have the information that actually Tha'at left the chat, so to speak, and been destroyed. And this is the best United States can go for. PAC-3, so you saw yourself. The video evidence is overwhelming. They cannot even lock on. They cannot capture the target properly. So what they do is pretty much now standard, you know, it's a template, basically, of any NATO or United States air defense. They see something flying, they shoot at it into a general direction. Sometimes they hit something, but most of it gets through. And you saw yourself what happens in Israel. It's a devastation there. In some parts of Rishon LeZion or, you know, Tel Aviv or what have you, it's just, I mean, it's Gaza. It's Gaza 2.0. So, and now you have the situation which is absolutely astonishing. When they hide, Israelis hide in the, which is natural, obviously, nobody blames them. People get into the those bomb shelters. And they turn away people who are immigrants. There are ample video evidence of people like telling them to get the hell out of it. Well, fool, we're not allowing you in. And so you, if you are, for example, Filipino in or some other guy in Tel Aviv, just watch those videos. They just tell them to get the hell out. It's for Israelis only. So there you go. Make your own conclusion what is going on. And so, but yes, it's a catastrophe for Netanyahu cabinet. But again, you look at the video, they have this along some highway in Tel Aviv that, oh, Mr. President, obviously Trump, please finish the job. That's the foundation of Israeli defense policy. We get in, start the mess, then let American boys die. So, and that's how it was.
Various videos, Andrei, we watched from Iranian attack on Israel. In some videos shows that there is no air defense system. It doesn't seem that the air defense system is activated. I don't know what was the reason, because all the missiles are just going without any sort of interception.
Very few of them, yeah. They just simply don't have a required force. A real serious operational officer, on the level of the, let's say, general staff, I mean, I don't think Israeli are competent to do that. They really calculate the required force. How do you calculate required force? First, you start with the correlation of forces and means, which requires very serious intel, which requires very serious military education. And you have to figure out together with, which is usually what does, it is the main operational directorates. Or operational planning directorates. That's what they do. They get this together. They have models. They update models as things develop when they observe essentially the combat. And but the problem is Israelis are like Ukrainians, as you remember, and it happens. Ukrainians constantly report to. That's why Americans believe that, because they believe it. They love to believe it. You know, so that they shoot down like every day. Kinjals, zircons, all those hypersonic weapons, you know. So, and they believed it. They say, oh, yeah, we have a combat effectiveness like this. So that tells you a very low professional level of those people, be them in Pentagon or general staff of IDF. And they think, oh, yeah, we can repulse it. We can, you know, defend us. And what do you have? You have Israel is devastated, essentially, you know. And when they started to take out Mossad headquarters and all those, you know, elite, diversionary and recon units. So that tells you that, how to put it politely, these guys are not real professionals, really. And they were doing this, obviously, for political reasons, trying to convince the United States to get in. And as I already stated, the probability, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily will happen, but the probability is pretty high that Mr. Trump will throw United States onto Iran, and that will be the end. The Trump presidency is pretty much over now. But the question will be how much blood, how much American blood will be spilled. Some people, like Ray McGovern, go as far as that, they move their assets, U.S. Navy assets, for them to be a good targets for Israelis to do the false flag, you know, yes, USS Liberty type thing, you know, so Gulf of Tonkin, to make sure that United States is involved. The problem is, of course, United States militarily first, it absolutely cannot fight on the ground. It just can't. The United States doesn't have resources. It doesn't have army which can fight real serious force in such terrain as Iran. It's not Iraq. And, of course, what they can do, the only thing is bomb. That's the only thing the United States can do. You know, it has some resources of bombs and what have you. And they're going to be, you know, flaunting this mother of all bombs, you know, and all that thing. But it's not going to change the dynamics much.
Andre, when we were talking with Larry Johnson about the air defense systems in Ukraine, he said that at least they need to fire two missiles to intercept a missile that is coming in. And here is in some videos that coming out of Israel, we see a missile is just coming in, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 interceptors go to hit it.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. That's why.
It has to be understood. There is a so-called thing called formular. Formular is the technical passport of the defense system. And it is designed. It's true for Russians. It's true for Chinese. It's true for Americans. It's true for anybody. Because obviously most of the systems, when they go on sale, guess what? It is tradition. They say, for example, on the technical data, when people go to exhibitions or go in and say, okay, how can we sign the contract? We want to buy it. They say, okay, the probability equals 0.9. With the probability of 0.9, the intercept of such and such aerial target requires 2 missiles. This is how it's calculated. But this is the not formular calculations. The real technical passport of every weapon system is the top secret classified. And reality is, of course, the reality that when you calculate the required force, you have to calculate it from the combat effectiveness, which is real, not passport, not for the exhibition. And suddenly then you recognize that, oh my gosh, formulas are there. Theory of operational planning is there. It's for everybody to see. Mathematics is generally of the theory of probability is the same. But the problem is, what is called mathematical expectations, this proverbial omega, or how many of those missiles you need to shoot to hit anything with the required probability? And here comes the issue. Suddenly, if you look attentively, and especially after dismal performances, dismal, it's pathetic, of the Patriots and all those things, and you suddenly recognize the probability of the hit of single ballistic missile by Iran, let's say middle of the road, not Fatah, which is latest, and you know, it's pretty sophisticated and things like that. No, just some middle of the road, abstract missile. And then suddenly you recognize, for a single missile to hit it, and again, this is the abstract probability, you do not have some like 0.7 or 0.65. You have more like 0.15, 0.2. And then you recognize that the required force, which still doesn't mean that you're going to hit it, but required force, for example, if you want to hit that thing with the probability of 0.9, you suddenly need to have the required force of 10.4, 10 missiles, or 11.5, which is 12 missiles. And this is your expenditure for the how the operations people plan their activities. But then again, when you have the propaganda, and Israel was part of the preparation and training of the Ukrainians, they took part in terrorism against Russia. Suddenly, when they believe, they swallowed hook, line, and sinker, which tells you about the lowest professional level of those people. All this data, which was poured to them by, like, remember the ghost of Kiev? It took them 2 months to recognize that, oh, gosh, it's all BS. It's all... But you already, look at this. They're pretty good, man. You know, especially you have the morons, which are primarily Western media. Western media are primarily morons. If you look attentively at most of their journals, they're cretins, basically. So, and when they spread this, and especially when you have people, political people, who won't understand the first thing. You know, let me put it this way. The average guy who is, oh, I was special forces and things like that, he will not understand operational planning. You have to have education. You have to have a serious STEM and military education to get it. But if they come, oh, yeah, I did some raids, you know, I killed this and that. That's not operation planning. That's tactical masturbation, essentially. Okay? The real deal is done on the levels of the general staffs. And as we already saw, since 2006, when it had its nose blooded by Hezbollah at Litani in 2006, remember those best tanks? You know, Merkavas? Well, Merkavas encountered the best ATGM complex in the world, which was Karnak. And my God, they had to call off the whole operation. And so the same thing, but evidently they do not understand how to do it until it was too late. If you take a look at the catastrophe which those nincompoops from Pentagon, let alone this joke of a military British general staff did, they remember counteroffensive 2023? These morons believe that they can achieve things. They never moved even beyond the forward field. They never reached even the first line of defense. They decided to play chess with Russian general staff and Russian military history. They are morons. That's why none of them will even dare to, debate me, because we are looking at a complete cultural level. And then, of course, you remember what happened to Kursk in Kursk. This was the British operation. They killed their 80,000 people, Ukrainian. They killed huge combined arms army there because they think that they know war. They don't. There's not a single professor in any goddamn, military academy in the West who even have a grasp of what is they are observing. Because obviously, primarily, they lived in the what? Hollywood created reality. And so is Israel. Whenever you listen about it, oh, one of the best air forces in the world, one of the best this. In terms of genociding people, probably. In terms of real combined arms, in terms of the missile exchange, not even close. It's not even the same. And Iran, I mean, that's the thing which many people do not understand. No matter what is the outcome, Iran proved that Iran said it could, and guess what? It delivered. You know, is that we can destroy Israel. And they, even Washington Post, the piece you actually quoted, is absolutely correct. They say, oh gosh, maybe the most of it is still there. You know, more than half of the, missiles are still there. Oh, I don't know. I don't have data, but I assume there is a lot left, So, and we look at this military and political and geopolitical incompetence. And then we have this teenager boy, bully, who is 79 years old, who doesn't understand, and he paraded his army in the most humiliating fashion 2 days ago, or rather 3 days ago. He doesn't even understand that, because he is the New York state, New York real estate shyster. He doesn't have culture. He doesn't have class. He never read a good book. His vernacular is that of the, kindergarten guy. And guess what? Now we know. He's not president of the United States. He's the vice president of Israel. That's who he is.
Andre, here is what Fox News showed us. here is the U.S. Navy and what they can do, and go to the Middle East and close to Iran and attacking from those areas. And how easy that would be for Iranian missile to hit these targets and sink them?
I don't know. It's first, obviously, U.S. Navy understands that they have to keep to maintain the range. Okay, I won't put much stock in the Iranian Navy. It's obviously nowhere near in its capabilities. So the ranges of their shore-based anti-shipping missiles could be as high as 600 kilometers. So, but again, we don't know exactly. They may have, doesn't mean that they will. They may have some kind of the longer range versions of the Onyx that could extend range to 800 kilometers. They will need obviously the targeting, but I'm sure United States Navy will try to keep away in order to launch what they only know how to do, is basically the carriers battle group will be launching strikes from the, you know, from the aircraft carrier. And of course, whatever will be the store of the Tomahawk land attack missiles on their those destroyers and cruisers, primarily destroyers of the early Burke class. So probably around 40, 45 missiles of the, because the rest of it is usually air defense missiles in their 96 MK-41 vertical launch system cells. So yeah, if you get three destroyers, they can theoretically launch, let's say 120, 150 Tomahawks. You can pull in the some submarines such as Virginia class, which can carry up to, well, it can launch probably 20 Tomahawks, 25. You can launch, you can bring in the good old, a higher class, which is 176, because they were converted from the ballistic missile. So all in all, they probably can launch about 500 missiles at best. It can definitely do some damage, but the problem is, bombing, especially in such countries as Iran, it's useless pretty much, you know. The only thing, and again, the thing which has to be kept in mind, the moment they start, we completely forget, there are tens of thousands of the military personnel of the United States Army on the ground. Doesn't matter how many they evacuated from the essential, non-essential personnel, including some people like, you know, civilian people, women, and other civilian men who, I don't know, do their bookkeeping, accounting, you know, selling things in their, you know, base stores, you know, things of this nature. They certainly, you know, probably evacuated those. But the other ones, the only way they, you know, for them to save themselves will be to run under the ground. And even that is not necessarily, you know, 100% guarantee. But there are so many fat, fixed, unmovable American targets in the area that the moment anything starts to fly from the United States Navy, that's it. Those people are going to get this. And this is very serious. And that's why Trump behaves himself like, because he has, pardon my friend, my French, his gonads in the pro-Israeli vices. They kind of, you know, screw it on tighter and tighter. But he understands probably, even by his feeble mind, that once it starts flying, it's over for him. Completely, completely. And I mean, to the point of impeachment. And so, and obviously GOP will be voting for his impeachment because of them being, you know, Israeli, you know, what, stooges. But others would like to see him behind bars, you know. So, and that will be the end of the United States. You know, American empire is done as we speak. It's over. It's been humiliated militarily on so many levels. So that's what we have. And we have to consider this as a, well, situation which can go in any direction, and considering irrational and rather cowardly man in the White House, well, that's what we have.
Andre, 2 days ago, Maria Zakharova reported that the United States has decided to unilaterally cancel the talks between the United States and Russia. And how do you understand what's going on in that in the case of Ukraine? And because Donald Trump, right after this attack on Iran, he talked with Vladimir Putin, and then he decided to do this, just cancel the talks. What's going on, in your opinion?
Well, it's his war in Ukraine. He already sustained defeat. He had the first 100 days, maybe, before he could stop this war. He can thank his wonderfully incompetent and moronic people like Kellogg and, you know, Keen and all. Again, American generals. They're laughing stock. I mean, the guys lost everything they ever fought. And so he's covered. Okay? He cannot make his make up his mind. He surrounded himself by people who manipulate him. That tells you his cultural level. And again, I am on record. I look at listen to his verbiage, listen to his view, his Truth Social, whatever the name of this thing. He proposes things in caps. He's like the what? Is he a schoolgirl? You know what? I mean, we don't have an adult there. We don't have adults in Washington, D.C. in general, as I already stated. They either work for Israel, and again, because some of them are just plain work for Israel, others are religious fanatics, which are brainwashed with this, you know, Christian Zionism, and there are no good people in sight, you know, who could actually change the course, the outcome. And MAGA was the last chance of the United States. And Trump betrayed them. And so it's now his war in Ukraine. He cannot tell Kellogg to go pound sand, because Kellogg would be laughed out at the, you know, brigade level in Russia as the incompetent amateur military, which he is, by the way. So, and, you know, what can I say? He cannot stop that war, obviously he can. He promised so many times to get the hell out of it, but he has to stay there, because if he really get the hell out of it, it's admission of what we already know. United States have been, and NATO have been militarily humiliated in Ukraine. So he has to maintain this, so to speak, lifeline for him in his, inflamed mind. He lives in an alternative universe. The man is incompetent. He doesn't understand the first thing about statesmanship. And now he has this. Oh, my God. Double whammy. So, and it tells you that you cannot trust and deal with the combined West. It is ungovernable. It is lying, cheating, dishonorable bunch of the crooks. And that's what it became. And the world now observes it. You probably have to mention, I actually made a video today, I'm mentioning it. Narendra Modi told Trump that United States had no role in the set. Because it was the Indian and Pakistani militaries who settled thing, and, you know, they escalated. Remember, Trump wanted to take the credit for this? So the guy changes himself like each 12 hours, which tells you that he's more of his hysterical woman of her meds than he's a real man. And that's what we have. And is it sad? Absolutely. They turned this beautiful country, which is the United States, in 30 years, they turned it into a catastrophe. And this is the corrupt and incompetent military, political, media elite in the United States. These cretins basically destroyed the country. So will it disintegrate? Again, it's already in the process of the disintegration.
So sad. So sad, Andre. Yeah. So sad. Thank you so much, Andre, for being with us today. Great pleasure, as always.
Bye-bye.
Take care, Andre. Take care.